and was pled guilty to, and two, that that there's actually comparability here. There's no Texas case that we can find that says when a Texas defendant pleads guilty to an offense, he necessarily admits everything that's been alleged in the
So the question is, do you plead guilty to the statutory
elements,
or do you plead guilty as you're charging the information?
Yeah, and that's the question, and the argument is that he pled guilty at most to the elements of the crime, not any additional factual allegations that are alleged in the charging document. Again, there's no case I'm aware of that says otherwise.
Absent some showing that he conceded those points.
Well, yes. Again, under the comparability analysis, if the state can show that Garrison admitted these additional factual allegations or stipulated to them, or if the state otherwise proved beyond a reasonable doubt that those things were proven as part of the plea based on the foreign record, that'd be a different situation. Garrison would be out of luck then. But the foreign record in this case doesn't show that at all. Texas laws compared to Washington is rather peculiar in this regard, in terms of whether when a plea is taken before a judge, then there's this additional requirement under Texas law that the state provide evidence to back up the judgment. And that can be done in really the way that, ways that we've just discussed, stipulation, admission by the defendant, or state puts on evidence. But this record that we have here doesn't show any of that. Thank you.
You have your rebuttal time.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Stephanie Guthrie, Deputy Prosecuting Attorney for King County, and I represent the state of Washington in this case. Since counsel has addressed the sentencing issue, I will do the same, but if the court has any questions about the 404B issue, I hope you'll jump in and let me know. What it really comes down to in this case is that this court doesn't actually need to decide whether or not the Texas conviction is comparable to manslaughter in the first degree. The state believes it is factually comparable in this case because, as the court noted, the state would have had to prove that he knew and intended that the act was clearly dangerous to human life before a jury. And the documents we have from Texas indicate that he pled guilty as charged in the information, not as set out in statute. And if the facts that he had pled to had not been sufficient to satisfy the information, we would have a problem, and he could have probably withdrawn his guilty plea. But what's more clear...
Did he have any motivation to challenge the surplusage there? I mean, his only interest was pleading guilty as charged, as the statute requires. Anything else, does he even care whether the state makes those additional allegations or not?
He probably does, in that he's telling the court what he's done, and it would, I mean, if he's being untruthful.
So did he tell the court that he intentionally and knowingly committed the act?
The only documents we have, unfortunately, are the information and the judgment and sentence that simply reflect that he pled guilty as charged in the information. However, it was unclear under Texas law at the time. The parties had every reason to believe at the time that the state was required to allege and prove that he knew and intended that the act was clearly dangerous to human life.
Well, you say that they had every reason to believe. Is there evidence that they, in fact, so believed?
No, we do not have any evidence as to their subjective mental state. But in this case...
How does this case differ from State versus Thomas?
And I'm sorry, Your Honor, will have to remind me what case it is.
That's Gregory Thomas, where the trial judge, walked down the primrose path of inferring facts from a California information that was pled guilty to. And 20 months later, Judge Schindler, joined by two of my recent colleagues, informed me of the error of my ways. So if you can't infer a fact just from the fact that it is alleged in an information from California, how does that differ just because it's from Texas?
Well, I think I am not familiar with the facts of Thomas or what the information was in that case, but here I think we do have Texas law telling us that this is information that was material, that would have had to be prove to a jury, and we have other Texas law showing us that a guilty plea pleads to all material facts in the information.
Well, if you allege that a felony occurred in King County, Washington, in an information, and the case went to trial, you might end up having to prove to the jury that it in fact happened in King County,
correct,
Washington, right?
Correct.
But you wouldn't, a person wouldn't have to plead guilty to it happening in King County, Washington. They would just have to plead guilty to it happening in the state of Washington, right?
Correct.
So how is Texas so strange?
Well, I think there's a difference between whether he would have had to. I mean,
well, isn't your argument that this is something he had to do? Since we don't know what he in fact did, you're asking us to deduce what he must have done based on what he had to do.
Well, what I'm asking the court to do is to, based on the fact that the records show that he pled guilty as charged, not to some other set of elements, to then conclude that he did in fact plead guilty to all material facts in that information. But in the end, this court doesn't even need to decide whether this particular conviction is factually comparable to manslaughter in the first degree, because it is clearly both factually and legally comparable to assault in the second degree. And for purposes of this case, the result is exactly the same, because both were Class B felonies in 1981, and both are strike offenses. So all this court would need to do to uphold the trial court's ruling and sentence is to note that it is clearly legally comparable to assault in the second degree, because the Texas statute, even just the statutory elements in Texas, are an act that is done with the intent to commit serious bodily injury, which, as defined under Texas law, is higher and narrower than Washington's substantial bodily harm, which is clearly dangerous to human life, which is also, again, narrower than the Washington statute, and which causes death. And Washington only requires an intentional assault and the reckless infliction of substantial bodily harm. So Texas requires an intentional assault, which causes a higher level of harm, and which is intended to cause a higher level of harm. So it is entirely narrower than Washington's assault in the second degree, as defined at the time that the Persistent Offender Act came into effect. Now, counsel's brief argued that we have to compare it to the 1981 Washington statute, and we know that the 1981 Washington Assault 2 is not a strike offense, but then you have to compare to the strike offense, because as State versus Faley notes, that's what we do with pre-1993 Washington offenses to figure out whether they're strike offenses. We compare them to the more modern Washington offenses. So here, it's very clearly narrower than, and therefore legally comparable, to a Washington Assault 2, which is, again, a Class B strike offense, which is what the trial court's ruling turned on. The trial court was in error in holding that it was not comparable to Assault 2, but here it is both factually and legally comparable, which would mean that the trial court was correct in finding that the defendant had two prior strike offenses that did not wash out from his offender score. If the court has any questions about the 404B issue, I'm happy to turn to that, but otherwise, I'm happy to see the rest of my time.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
The state has seized upon the language in the Texas information that Garrison pled guilty as charged. But the state is unable to distinguish the proposition that was established in this court's case of Stavey Thomas. In that case, the defendant pled guilty to a California complaint as charged, and this court held that doesn't mean that he pled guilty to everything in that complaint. It just means that he pled guilty to the elements, and the same result is compelled here. The state argues that, well, this is really one for about factual comparability. This is only legally comparable to the Washington offense of second-degree assault as it existed in 1993 when the three strikes law, or rather when the most serious offense statute was enacted. Problem there is basically the same problem we have with the manslaughter argument, though, which is that under Texas law, there's no culpable mental state that's attaching to the act that's resulting in harm. But when we look to the Washington second-degree assault statute, again, the 1993 version, for example, we've got an intentional assault, and got a reckless infliction of substantial bodily harm. There's no comparison to the mens rea, though, in terms of the act under the Texas voluntary manslaughter statute. In Texas, yes, we have this, again, the specific intent to cause the serious bodily injury, but we don't have the mens rea attached to the act. That's clearly dangerous to human life. That's the Texas offense. And for that reason, under Texas, one could commit an act that's clearly dangerous to human life without any mental state as culpable whatsoever. Or, for example, one could commit that act negligently under Texas law, and that would still be that'd be voluntary manslaughter in Texas, but it's not second-degree assault under in Washington, because, again, this requires an intentional assault, a reckless infliction. Those mens rea are not part of that Texas offense. So for those reasons, the state can't prove any Class B felonies comparable to the Texas offense, and it washes out. And it can't count as a strike. Resentencing is required. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The next matter is City of Kent versus